dev update. So yeah, I actually released the dev update this morning. But basically the main focus has been on the mobile app and getting obviously Lightning integrated into it. Also there, WhatsApp is saying you're muted in Discord.
Oh, I forgot to
unmute. And so the mobile app's been coming along really well. And I was aiming for the first half of October. That was kind of the goal. But now it's looking like, you know, maybe in the next week or so, we'll have open beta. So tentatively give us a week to release it into open beta. And we've kind of changed the structure of that a little bit. But we're basically looking to open it up on test flight first. To just get some general feedback and be able to do all that stuff quickly. So open beta will be on test flight first, and that'll let us do more rapid and robust testing in general. So that's kind of where the mobile app is at. And I've obviously been using it. I think a lot of people have seen me commenting from it. So it's working really well now. And the issue before, you know, we actually probably could have released it on October 1st, which was kind of my target. But, you know, there would have been a lot of bugs and some crazy stuff with commenting and loading feeds and stuff. So it seemed like it would be a better idea to put it off a little bit and make sure we get a better version out for people's first experience with it. So it's still going to be an MVP, obviously. So you need to, you know, just kind of understand it's open beta MVP. There's going to be bugs. It's not going to be the final product. You know, if you go back to the Leo UI, the desktop UI we built, go back like 8-10 months to when we first started. And or that was a long, actually, that was way longer than that. It was like over 12 months ago. But if you go back to way back when we started that, you know, obviously the site was like bare bones. It was like nothing when we first started. And then every week or so, we would release a new feature and build on top of that layer by layer. So that's kind of how the mobile app is going to go. So basic structure and then pretty much weekly updates to the app and new features and bug fixes and all that stuff. So pretty excited for that. I think I do think we'll have it out by the next AMA, but we'll see. And then talked a little bit about the podcast and we had a bunch of people on so far, and then we've got new ones scheduled every week. So we got a podcast after this with another interview, and just kind of keeping the ball rolling on that. And it's been nice because Alex is on the team now, and he's been, you know, working and reaching out to all these different people and getting them on, scheduling and doing all the work. So I don't have to do all the prep work and all that stuff. And then the marketing team's been taking control of editing it and doing all that. So really for me, it's I just have to show up, which is obviously how we want most things to work, where I just 100%. Show up, I do my part, and then can pass it off to other people to take the reins. And then the Daily Leo, you know, speaking of people taking the reins, you've got Taskmaster who took over obviously writing the newsletter every week. So he does Mondays and Fridays. And he obviously is doing a good job with that. I just talked a little bit about the growth and we've seen a lot of growth in terms of recipients and signups and total views in general, open rates and everything. So the newsletter is doing really well. That's just basic marketing. And
I have a question about the newsletter. Traffic.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it's called the Daily Leo. Is it come out daily or?
So the goal,
you mentioned Task is doing Monday, Wednesdays. I'm like, is he just covering a couple of days or is that the 2 days it comes out? Like,
yeah. Yeah. So I actually came up with the Daily Leo a long time ago, like right when Steam Leo came out.
Yeah.
So this was like, I don't even know how long, 2 or 3 years ago. And it was intended to be a daily newsletter. I used to do it every day, but now I just, you know, over the years, I've obviously gotten a lot busier with all the different projects we're doing. So, I just haven't had time to write a daily newsletter. So then Taskmaster, you know, took the reins and he's doing Mondays and Fridays. And the goal, and that's the only, so the newsletter only comes out Mondays and Fridays right now. The goal is to get a couple more people involved in writing the newsletter. So then, you know, a couple people can have a few days each week. So I may pick one day of the week and do it. Yeah. And then we have the community kind of contributing and it should be pretty cool. And
I mean, I think we should do a call out to the community in terms of finding essentially, you know, even up to 7 people. So there's one person per day. It's kind of like with the that MSP curation thing I've done for like two, three years. There's one person for each day. So it's pretty easy when it's just like once a week you have to take care of something. I'm sure people are willing to do more than one day, but that's just an idea in terms of kind of like crowdsourcing the responsibility. And I'm sure there's people in the community that would love to jump on. So, you know, anyone that wants to get involved in that, feel free to, you know, give a heads up and, you know, as long as you can put together something decent, right? Yeah, my other question with the Daily Leo is, because I recently signed up for it, like with a separate email, because I like having the resources, especially because, you know, I do like a weekly crypto call with normies and, you know, there's always some gems in there that I can share. What actually kind of threw me though, is I actually expected it to be filled with articles that were Leo Finance sourced articles, but I see it's like articles from like Decrypt and like sites like that. So I guess my whole thing is
mix.
So is that what it is? Is it generally a mix?
Yeah, I mean, Taskmaster kind of, you know, he's got autonomy to do however he feels he needs to do it. And I mean, I think usually, you know, I read them and I see that like three or four out of like 5 or 6 links, like more than half of them are Leo Finance. And then the other ones are sometimes kind of fillers from other sites like Decrypt.
I mean, which is fine, because if it's good content, you want it there. But I guess my whole thing is too, like, we got to make sure, it's a mix at a minimum, because the goal is to drive traffic to Leo Finance. So, you know, someone might sign up for that newsletter, but then like not really, you know, use Leo Finance because they still don't understand it or what it is, but you're getting hit with, you know, that email from Leo Finance and it's taking you to post on Leo Finance. So it's engaging people, you know? And then Tess just said in the chat and YouTube that there's always 5 links for Leo Finance. So there you go. Perfect. Cool.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Awesome. So, I mean, I think that's a pretty good strategy, but then, you know, I mean, I think as Leo Finance grows too, there's going to be more news coverage and stuff like that. Cause obviously the community right now doesn't cover every single piece of major news, which could be a nice niche to fill if you're looking for more awareness for your content. Fill those
voids
look at the newsletter and look at the non-Leo links and maybe see what kind of articles are missing from the site right now. So then I kind of went into a little bit of like a spotlight for two people in the community that have been doing a lot of work recently. So I'll probably start doing this every week and just kind of pick on a few people who have been doing some stuff.
No need to mention me. No need.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. So who we got for this week?
To mention you and your referrals. Yeah. So this week we've got Notac and Taskmaster. So Notac's been doing a lot of listings for Cub. So he's basically gotten Cub listed on pretty much every BSC tracking site. So, and probably not coincidentally, the TVL has grown over 50% in the last 2 or 3 weeks, since he started. So yeah, I do think it has a lot to do with him and what he's doing. So, he put out a post too. I kind of linked to it at the end, you know, kind of asking the community to comment and upvote the dap.com listing and you can get involved with all those different listings and it's actually very beneficial. So, one thing he mentioned there was that the social ranking for Cub puts us at, rank 28 for DeFi on BSC, which is ahead of projects like Auto Farm that have over $800 million in TVL. So Cub has a higher basically engagement rate on a site like this than something that has 100 times the TVL. So kind of interesting and also shows us that there's a lot of room for growth in terms of TVL and general awareness. Because if we keep up that kind of awareness, you know, people will just keep finding Cub and realize what we're doing.
Yeah, those listings are huge. And, you know, shout out to Notac to getting, you know, like the dap.com is the most recent one. And like you mentioned, the post and like I jumped on there as well and, you know, made a review on dap. And then I was voting some of the comments for people that, you know, showed they did the same. So, I mean, that post is still live. So feel free to jump in, people, and, you know, comment that you liked and made a comment on dap.com. And
Absolutely.
I'll jump back in the post and upvote some people again.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's going to be a lot of initiatives like that that kind of grow the whole ecosystem. So I think we'll try to do something similar. He updated the Leo Finance listing on dapp.com too. So we could do something similar there. Nice. Just getting people involved in increasing the social rank. And then, so for Cub, I kind of talked about, you know, the things we're working on. I talked about the Kingdoms TVL growing. So it just hit 7 million for the first time ever. And it was 4 million back on September 22nd. So just a few weeks to, you know, really ramp up the TVL, almost double it, which is obviously insane, for a project the size of ours. And then, you know, if this TVL continues to grow, which I think it will, we're obviously going to see more and more Cub burns and BNB dividends. So, that's kind of, you know, the long-term vision has always been, you know, sustainability and growing that TVL. So TVL is definitely going to start taking a front seat in all this, in the narrative of Cub. And that's pretty much it. So just kind of covered, you know, the things that have happened in the past week, which are obviously accelerating us towards Polygon, and the Leo mobile app. So, I also just mentioned a little teaser about the Polygon app that, you know, we made a lot of changes recently to the way it's going to roll out. And a lot of that has to do with tokenomics and generally just how the token is going to be distributed and all that stuff. And we kind of drew inspiration from OHM, which has the Olympus DAO. So, you know, if anyone's been following this narrative about DeFi 2.0, that's kind of where we drew inspiration from. It has a lot to do with protocol owned value and protocol owned liquidity. So it's kind of this new concept in DeFi 2.0. And then we drew some inspiration from Splinterlands and what they did with FTPS. So it'll be fun to see everyone's reaction to the changes. I think they're very bullish for Cub and for Polygon.
That's Cub. Cool. I'm just happy I know the reference, because I never even heard of OHM until literally yesterday. And that's only because I was looking at another project that Neil was talking about that's, I guess, launching in a few days.
Oh, yeah, Monday.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Of Olympus, yeah,
very interesting. But that's yeah. What's cool, yeah, it'll be too, cool though, making those shifts, you know what I mean, when you see a different method to do something and pivoting if it's a better alternative.
Yeah 100%. So that's kind of always been our thing,
yeah,
evolving with the industry as much as we can.
Cool.
So now we can do questions.
I was going to say, sounds like we're ready for Q&A. So speaking of Notech, he's got a question in the AMA chat. You mentioned before that you were thinking of new kingdoms. Have you decided on any? What type of assets are you looking for?
Yeah, that's good. So there's a couple things. So we're looking for more of the major kingdoms. So things like Bitcoin and Ethereum and Polkadot and, you know, big ticket items and big name recognition for those types of assets. So that's kind of one direction that we're looking for new kingdoms. And then the second direction is collaborative kingdoms. So we're starting to reach out to a bunch of BSC platforms that are, you know, mid to large cap, so, you know, slightly larger cap than Cub and up, obviously, and then talking to them about creating a kingdom for them and collaborating with their community so that we can kind of cross pollinate. So that's kind of two routes that we're taking for adding new kingdoms. But I think by the end of the year, we'll have probably twice as many kingdoms as there are right now. So we'll see some interesting growth on that front.
Cool. He has got a follow-up question. I'm not sure if it's related. So he said, with the exchange aggregator talked about last week, what is the ETA? And also, is that similar to 1inch? And will the aggregation fee go to Cub Kingdom holders, or will it buy Cub and be burned, or both?
Yeah, that's a good one. So that project, I mentioned in the last AMA that we hired a new developer. We found a new developer and added him to the team, and he's obviously a smart contracts developer and a UI developer. So I kind of I kind of put him on his own and said, here, you know, this is an idea I have. And I gave him the scope of work and the design. And he's just kind of taken off and he's building it right now. So I think most likely within like 3 to 5 weeks, we'll have the first version ready. And in that first, so the we're kind of releasing it in stages. In the first version, it's going to be a dashboard for tracking your cub. I mean, I know this is something that everybody wants right now. A dashboard for tracking your kingdom stake and the growth of your stake and the historical value and project the future growth and APY and all that stuff. So that's the first version, is to have the dashboard. And then the other page that will come in that version is an opportunities page. So it'll kind of look for opportunities on BSC for yield farming. And that will be, they'll all be displayed on there, which a lot of the work that Notac has done is to compare Cub APYs, Kingdom APYs to other platforms like AutoFarm. And he found that Kingdoms are far superior in terms of APY. So one of the pages is going to be opportunities, which basically will search all these different platforms and kind of compare them a little bit. So that should be interesting. That's just kind of an extra little add to it. But the main thing is obviously the dashboard. And then in stage two, the stage two release, which obviously we don't have a timeline for yet, but it shouldn't take too much longer than after the 3 to 5 week period, is going to be the aggregator. So that'll be something that looks like 1 inch, and it'll basically look for, you'll go to it and it'll be a swap page. And we decided to do this instead of a V2 Cub AMM. So instead, we're going to build like a one inch clone. And you'll be able to go to this page and enter in two assets to swap. So say you want to swap, BNB to BUSD, right? It's going to search across all Binance Smart Chain AMMs. So PancakeSwap, ApeSwap, PantherSwap, all these other platforms. It'll search them for the best price, because obviously each exchange has its own exchange rate. They're all independent of each other. So it'll search for the best swap price, and then it'll give you that swap router, and obviously just click swap, and then it'll take a small percentage fee. And that's what he's asking is, will that fee go to Cub Kingdom, or will it buy and burn Cub? I don't actually know yet. We're going to kind of sit down and think about it and do some math on what we think the amounts are going to be in terms of what's collected. But I think it'll be interesting either way, you know. So it's pretty much either going to be used to go to the Cub Kingdom, or it'll be used to burn Cub. So either way, I think it's beneficial, but we'll kind of start scoping it out and see which would be better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's basically a choice of two good options. Both of them are, positive catalyst for returns, whether it's, reduction of supply or just earning additional fees. Both of them are net positives. We have a question from Alex. For the new kingdoms, are you leaning toward single asset kingdoms or pairs?
It doesn't particularly matter. Whatever provides the most opportunity for both for the users and for Cub as a whole, because obviously each kingdom has a certain APR, the base APR. And that base APR has a big factor on how much Cub gets burned from that kingdom. So for example, like the SPS BNB kingdom is the number one earner in terms of burning Cub. And part of the reason for that is how much TVL it has. And then the other reason is that the base APR is something like 59 or 65 or something percent, kind of fluctuates. And the higher that base APR, obviously the bigger the dollar value of the Cub that gets burned, because the kingdoms take a 10% management fee. So if that 10% is on 60% APR, it's obviously better than a 10% on 6% APR. So there's kind of a few factors there, because we want to provide opportunities to the users, but then also look for what's most beneficial to Cub.
Makes sense. See if we got anything else. Not a ton of questions were stacked up, so What is this? Looks like we had some tech support going on in the AMA. I think WhatsApp took care of the person. Nice job, WhatsApp. That's it at the moment. I see Alex typing. So I'm going to ask something while we wait to see. Alex said, I believe someone asked about platypuses last week. This was not addressed. This is an AMA. in fact, yeah, where is Mr. Mario? He's not in YouTube as usual. He probably is sad that I didn't get his platypus question in last week.
Yeah, I don't know much about platypuses, but I
don't even know what a platypus is.
Wasn't there a show about one, like Perry the Platypus or something?
I don't think
I ever saw it, but I remember seeing commercials for it a long time ago on TV.
Neil just posted a GIF in Discord.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with them.
That's funny. It looks like it basically kind of looks like a duck that someone turns into a pancake. They pancaked a duck.
They pancake swapped a duck for a platypus.
Right. Wes in YouTube asked thoughts on Love Token. I'm not from LUV. I actually don't know that token. Have you heard of it?
It sounds roughly familiar. I don't know.
Isn't that the ticker symbol for Southwest Airlines? I think it's an AG token. What's up?
I think that's a Hive Engine token, but I'm not 100% sure.
It could be.
Kind of sounds roughly familiar.
At this point, I know about an eighth of the Hive tokens that exist. If it's not basically Leo or SPS or, I mean, obviously I know of Palnet and what else? What is it? SPT and from at CCR at CCRDLX at Krildix. I don't know how to say that abbreviation. What's that? Which is the end of my knowledge. They have duck bills. You were correct, sir. The platypus does have a duck bill. I trusted you, but then Neil verified. And as we say in real estate, and you should use this in crypto investing, trust but verify. So we can trust what Cal tells us, but we verify. All right. You know what? Actually, let me check Twitter too. I didn't see anything about that. Nope. Just the one, assuming it's still working, just the one comment in Twitter. But cool. So I have a question. Well, there you go. What's up? My question leans this way. So what's up? I keep saying WhatsApp instead of what's up.
yeah, that's a hard one.
Anyway, when IDO. So I'm actually curious about the Polycub IDO. So obviously, you know, whatever, I'm just going to call it Polycub token. There's going to be a Polycub Matic like farms or kingdom, I assume, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I've been buying Matic.
It's actually going to be one of the changes we made. It's actually going to be Polycub USDC and Polycub WEETH.
Okay, wait, so I'm assuming there's going to be some kind of Matic pool or kingdom.
There's going to be a P-Leo Matic pool.
Just feel like I make all the wrong choices. All right, so I'm still keeping my Matic.
Yeah, no.
Should have been stacking wheat.
It's funny to do with Matic. And then there's kingdoms on Polygon Cub, so.
Well, that would obviously make sense. There's going
to be plenty to do. Also, Bitcoin just hit 61K.
Nice.
Side note.
I saw we cracked 60.
We'll see 70 by this weekend.
59 and a half was basically the reversal top resistance point I had. So if anyone watched like my last Bitcoin video, I pretty much pointed out the upside. So, you know, if we establish above 59 and a half, then the all-time highs is the next upside target. I don't know if we'll go straight up though. We did get some consolidation above the 53 level, which was good. It was positive price action. The moving average is kind of caught up, digested that, you know, move from 30. So I will say the price action has looked really strong and orderly as opposed to just being a moonshot.
Yeah. So what do you think? You think all-time high this month and 100K next month? Is that your, I think that's what Addicted is calling for.
I don't know. I mean, on the last AMA, I think me, you and Neil threw out things just because we were kind of forced to. I obviously took the conservative approach, and I think I gambled on that we weren't going to make all-time highs before the end of the year. I gambled on the topping out just short of it and consolidating and then making the new, doing it next, you know, come the new year. I think, yeah, what did Neil say? I think Neil said something about the 70s. But
yeah, I don't even remember what I said.
I mean, I can be honest with you. So like, here's my point of view, because you know me, I like to, I see Neil's about to chime in. I let the charts dictate, you know, what, you know, my next target is. So obviously right now the all-time high is in sight. Neil said 70 this month and 100 by the end of year, which very well, I mean, sure, especially consensus, depending on what's going on with this Bitcoin ETF, which after we get off this call, I'm going to look for clarity. I saw like, apparently it's like sort of approved.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It was a little like, I put out a tweet about it because FBSLO put it in the Discord, and then I tweeted the Discord screenshot, and then Tim Copeland, who's he's a writer for Decrypt, I think, right? Decrypt. Oh no, he's an editor for The Block. Okay. He did a lot. He did a lot of news coverage on Steam, the hostile takeover. I actually did a Zoom call with him about the hostile takeover when he was doing some like research about it. Good, feels like it was 100 years ago. But he said, he replied to the tweet and said, that's not an approval. And then FBSLO replied to that response that a screenshot from the SEC saying, we further certify that the securities described above have been approved for or by the exchange for listing and registration upon official notice of issuance. So
interesting.
Maybe not. Well, maybe leaning more towards yes.
By the end of the day, we should have more clarity. Either way, yeah. I mean, that's,
I mean, if it's Bitcoin clear, I feel like we're going to 75, but we'll see.
And, you know, I would agree with that. And it'll probably be a moonshot, which, you know me, I'm just not a fan of moonshots because generally you get harsh pullbacks with the moonshots.
Yeah. Nice little trade, though. If you hit 75, would you sell?
You know, that's actually, you know, that's not a bad idea. Like, I might put that trade on right now. Like, just jump in at 61. And either if basically we push below, I would give it a little wiggle room. So like, you know, 59 and a half is kind of like that line, but I'd probably give it till 58. So stop loss at 58, upside 7, you know, risk 3,000 to make, what is that, 14? That's, you know, better than, you know, 4-1 on your money. And I always say like risk reward, you want at least 2-1 and 4-1, 4-1 and 5-1 is what all like, you know, the real big money managers do. So that's actually a good trade right now in terms of risk reward. I would put that bet down. Shit, that might be my last trade on a exchange that I don't use.
yeah, I may have to borrow some Bitcoin, do a little short, but I'll probably wait for 75, maybe do a small one. Then when we get above 90, I'll probably put a big one on.
I mean,
sit back and wait.
Yeah, it all depends on what the move is. You know, if we moon straight from 61 to 75, then I'm probably going to put a short hedge on. But if, you know, now that we leveled up above 60, if we stay in the 60s and kind of consolidate a little bit and establish that new range above that, you know, 59 and a half resistance, then I don't see any reason why then next leg up to 75 without, you know, getting any kind of harsh pullback.
Yeah.
What is this? He posted here. This Bitcoin.
It's just a newsletter talking about it.
Yeah. Cool. I'll have to give that a look. Let me just double check here. What do we got here in YouTube? Just a chatter.
Oh, here it says, it is important to remember that the ETF is not approved in trading until it is approved in trading.
Addicted said, going to hit 100,000 in less than 6 weeks. That's when all the laser eyes go short.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think 100K, I think we'll bounce harshly off of 100K.
And I think since a lot of people expect that, I'm hoping we get a spike through to like 103 or something, 104.
Yeah.
And then maybe. And then I'll probably.
I just feel like a lot of people are going to have limit orders at like anywhere from 94 to 100. It's just going to be limit order after limit order.
Yeah.
To get out.
I mean, there's a lot of people that are eyeing 100K to sell. So like you said, limit orders in the mid 90s up.
Yeah, I may drop some limit orders in there at like 89, but I'll probably buy in as soon as we drop back down to like 60.
I guess the problem is I don't have any Bitcoin I want to sell.
A little bit of the thinking. What?
So I don't have any Bitcoin I want to sell. I have, you know, I got the Forever Coin stored away, and then everything else I have is basically staked in the Belt Kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, obviously the best play in general is just to hold and just wait. But you could, you know, I guess there's a little bit of a trader in me that wants to take advantage of a little move. So put basically what I've been doing, and we've talked about this with Gerber and Neil before, but basically what I've been doing is weighting my portfolio into stable coins a little bit as we rise. Obviously since you can LP and I've been LPing some stable coins on Terra, and Polygon, and obviously on Cub for BSC. And then when we release Polygon Cub, I'll move my stables into the Polygon Cub kingdoms. But basically I've been kind of spreading around some stable coins and generally making over 20% APY on stable coins. So.
And that's, you know, a general strategy that I'm looking at as well. And I'm plan on implementing. If we do get this run to 100, I'll probably convert some stuff into stable. Cause then again, you can still earn a return. That's the beauty about it. You can still earn 20, 25% and now take that downside risk off the table. And it's like at the same time, like, let's just say Bitcoin hits 100K and never looks back. Right. I'm not going to be sweating over it cause I'm still getting 20% on that stable coin.
Yeah. Took profit. Can't lose when you take profit. Neil's saying LP is the new sell, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. So the new sell is to LP.
But maybe Neil can elaborate on that. Would you LP your Bitcoin into another crypto with volatility, or would you LP it into a stable coin?
So well, I mean, let's go over like
or something.
Yeah. I mean, if we talk about the basis of an LP, I mean, the beauty about it is it's the best chance to keep your value like static, you know what I mean? Like, because you're trading one coin for the other. I think so how do you lose value in an LP? Basically both coins have to go down in price.
Right. That's how you lose US dollar value overall. A lot of people are concerned with obviously impermanent loss, which is you're not losing necessarily. It's more of an opportunity cost.
It's an opportunity cost.
You know, like Bitcoin. You're in Bitcoin USD and Bitcoin doubles, you're only getting, you know, half of that move because you're obviously half in USD and you're selling on the way
out. But you've also taken risk off the table.
Right. Yeah. You have to pay for a hedge. Every hedge has a cost. So
exactly. And that's, I mean, an LP in a lot of ways is a hedge.
Right.
You know, it's not a complete hedge, but what it is, it's lowering your risk from being an outright holder. It's like kind of like the halfway point in between being an outright holder and hedging your position. It's kind of the closest thing to a halfway point, you know, where you still keep that upside, but you also reduce the possible downside, as opposed to if you outright hedge, you know, that is the one-to-one impact of whatever percentage of your portfolio you do. So if you're holding one Bitcoin and you put on, you know, a 0.25 hedge, well, that's, you know, 25% of potential profits. Like you have an impermanent loss in that instance, because if it keeps going up, you're short now a quarter of a Bitcoin. So you're only benefiting on 75% of your Bitcoin in that example. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of like this is just my opinion. It's kind of a happy medium in between outright hedging and outright just holding long.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. I think the Bitcoin, he said Bitcoin BUSD would be his choice or something. Some stable coin pair. And I would agree with that. I'll probably take a pretty decent chunk of my Bitcoin and LP it around, you know, 89 to 97,000 or so before we even hit 100K.
Are we gonna be able to do that on Polycub? Because we can't do that on Cub Finance. There's no BTC.
Yeah, there's no USD farm right now, no USD kingdom right now on BSC. I think they're Let me confirm. I think there's one on Polygon Cub at launch. I have one designed, but I don't know if I put it in there for the launch yet.
Okay.
Might be coming after.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, how big the demand is for it. I mean, I know I'm in the pool of someone that would use that, but you know, I don't know if I'm the majority. I'm usually not.
No, I think that's a good one. I mean, I might as well just tease everybody with what we're doing. So,
oh wait, hold on. How far down the rabbit hole are you going to go?
Alpha leaks. We'll give a little bit.
I don't think you want to do it to yourself. Yeah. And plus, I mean, we're signing off here in a couple minutes.
Yeah. We'll have a stablecoin kingdom and it'll use Aave and Curve. That's going to be one of them. Obviously one of the biggest. Then we're going to have
stablecoin kingdom. It's going to use, what'd you say? Aave?
Aave, Curve.
Okay.
Yeah. It uses Curve.
Yep. And Aave. Yep.
There's a similar one on Auto Farm right now. And then Weathmatic is obviously going to be one that's on Sushi. Weath and Bitcoin also on Sushi. Weath and DAI also on Sushi. And then there's going to be a USD Bitcoin, USDC wrapped Bitcoin. And then there's a few others, but I won't give them all away.
Hopefully in there's something where I can actually use my Matic. Otherwise I got to go on an ETH shopping spree.
Yeah. No, there's there's Matic there. Obviously you're going to have Peleomatic and then you're going to have, which one did I say? Weathmatic.
Weathmatic. Yeah.
Weathmatic is a very popular LP on Polygon.
Oh, that's good. It makes sense, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Peleo. So interesting. So we always talk about Polycub, right? But Peleo doesn't get much talk.
Right.
How is one going to acquire Peleo?
Same way you acquire WLEO and BLEO.
Gotcha.
Same exact thing, just on a new blockchain.
All right. So I'm going to.
Same day, different blockchain.
I'm going to reserve some funds, I guess, to grab a little Peleo and I'll participate in that pool.
Well, and the cool thing is Leo Bridge has so many issues and it's pretty unusable because of Ethereum fees in general. And we're relaunching Leo Bridge as BSC to Polygon. Obviously, we'll still probably keep the ETH side. You know, right now, if you want to send $100 across Leo Bridge, you're going to pay $60 in ETH gas fees. So that doesn't make any sense. But if you want to send $100 on the BSC to Polygon Leo Bridge from BLEO to PLEO, it's going to be probably under $1, maybe under $2 in fees at the most. So we're talking very, very small percentages of what it's going to take out of even small transfers across the bridge. So I think that's actually going to bring a lot of volume. And with Binance obviously instilling their weird restrictions, the usage of DEXs is going to just continue to grow. And obviously the Leo Bridge is a smart contract. So it's a smart contract that just takes Leo from one blockchain, unwraps it into the Hive blockchain, and then rewraps it into another blockchain. So, it's obviously going to, I think it's going to gain a lot of traction with.
The BSC to Poly is, you know, super useful and going to be way less problematic and cost efficient. At the same time, I think the biggest, you know, roadblock still is for regular folk to get their money on to either of those blockchains, because really a normie still has to go through ETH to get there for the most part.
Yeah. Well, Coinbase has actually been getting a lot better about blockchain support. So I do think we're going to see some more ease of access for.
If they add where you can buy, like, you know, Poly token, like, it's a game changer. Because right now everything's just ERC-20.
I think they have Matic, don't they?
They have Matic, but I think it's as an ERC-20, or I could be wrong.
I thought that changed in the past month, but someone might correct me. I don't really use
Coinbase. Oh, if that's a game changer. If that's,
I think they have it.
I can just cycle everyone through the Matic token, and then they can swap.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, then they can go to Polygon Cub, and then obviously when Leo Bridge is ready, they can go straight to then go straight to BSC Cub as well.
So, when I used
interesting,
what did I use recently? I think it was I'm pretty sure Notech sent it to me. I had to move. I had to get from, actually, it's what Leo Bridge is going to offer. I was trying to go from Binance Smart Chain to Poly, and it was AnySwap, and it worked pretty well. So, I mean, I assume that's essentially what Leo Bridge is going to be similar to that. This actually had all three chains, though. You could do Ethereum, you could do Binance Smart Chain, and you could do Poly. You just selected. So, if you haven't seen it, it's pretty badass, actually.
Yeah, the multi-chain solutions are getting very good,
which is huge.
Obviously, Thorchain is we hope Thorchain.
All right, so we got a couple minutes here. We'll end it with a more general question. This is an opinion. So, Beehiver asked, "What ratio should stable coins hold in your portfolio?" So, I'll lead by saying not financial advice, but we'll both give our opinions.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, so obviously you have to. My take is that you have to, that's a personal thing. So, you know, I was actually talking with someone who I've helped a lot, you know, like obviously in person about, you know, various crypto things. And we were talking about stable coins and LPs and Bitcoin and how much to hold in stable coins and all this stuff. And basically, I think it just comes down to you know, your situation. Like if you are working a full-time job and you have an income and you don't have to work, you know, rely on crypto to fund your life, then it shouldn't matter to you whether crypto 10x's or 0x's. And obviously it's more just you want it to 10x, but it's not going to change your life. It's not going to change your lifestyle if crypto tanks tomorrow, yes. Right? Then your weighting in stablecoins should probably be a lot lower than someone who has retired and now they're living off of their crypto or living off of their yield from crypto. So obviously two completely different situations. And then the other factor I think is the price of Bitcoin and crypto in general. So like I said, as Bitcoin keeps going up and crypto keeps going up, my weighting is going to keep shifting into stablecoins slowly. So I do everything very slowly now. Like I used to be like the ape who would just throw all my money into one thing. Like I'd be like, okay, it's all Bitcoin now. And then I'd be like all Bitcoin. And then I'm like, oh, Ethereum's better. And then I'd move all of it into Ethereum, you know, in a day. And I've gotten a lot smarter and better about, you know, dollar cost averaging in every way, shape, and form. So you dollar cost average in, you dollar cost average out, you dollar cost average across if you go into other assets. So everything is an average.
In the long run, it's the best way to do it. I mean, because you're never going to pick the bottom exactly. You're never going to pick the top exactly of anything, maybe once in a blue moon. And on top of that, you're going to spend so much time trying to do it where it's just like automate the process by just dollar cost averaging, especially if you have other things going on. You know, outside of being a full-time trader, you should just be DCA, should be the mode. But all right, cool. I know you got the podcast at 1, so I'll give a short answer. Beehiver, me personally, like I generally have roughly like 30% staked in stable coins. That gets down to 25% often when the, you know, cryptos rise and whatnot. So I may adjust when that happens, but I'm usually floating somewhere from 25 to 30%. That's just my personal comfort level and fits my goals and what I'm trying to accomplish. So don't know if it's right or wrong, but it works for me. So like Cal said at the beginning, it's a personal decision, but you know, as a general theory, like hedging roughly a third is probably considered conservative. But that's why I'm the cat. Scaredy cat likes to protect the downside. So stable coins, I know I'm not losing money. I'm just making yield. And I don't have a day job, so I do live off my investments.
Right. So totally different for you than someone else who does have a day job.
I wish I still had my day job for that. Oh my God. I'd be throwing crazy money at every freaking meme coin and
oh God.
But anyway, well, that goes off the rails. So let's wrap up. I know you got the podcast to go record. And we'll you'll be with Neil next week. I actually will be in Orlando speaking at Wealth Summit, but I'm actually doing a crypto segment. So even though it's a real estate wealth thing, they're having me do a crypto segment. So I'll be dropping the Leo name. In fact, everything I do, pretty much, I have the Leo and Cub logo. I have it on my weekly crypto call, like that brings in the normies. It's on just about everything. So free marketing.
I love that.
So cool. All right, everyone.
All right.
Until next time.
Yep. We'll see you all next week.